What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.
Bye-bye. Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
Top of the hour is being brought to you by DuckDuckGo. Privacy simplified. On tomorrow's show, we will hopefully be talking about the White Sox breaking their 7-game losing streak. Perhaps we're talking about them having an 8-game losing streak. Who knows? I do think it sets up for them to hit well and win tonight, considering who they're facing. But they also have to get people out, which has been a struggle. And honestly, them scoring runs over the last 10 games has also been a struggle. Anyway, we will do that, and we will get deeper into our preview of Bulls-Bucks Game 5, especially now with the information that Zach LaVine might not be a part of Game 5 because he is in the health and safety protocols. Spiegel. Grody? Is that what's going on?
That's right. Mark Grody all week long.
Man.
Rest of the way, man.
Look at that.
We're going to have some fun.
We're going to have some fun. We're maximizing here.
Yeah, we are going to. You know, it's funny. You just said we are going to have some fun. I thought it was Mark Grody. Or said you are going to have some fun is what you said, Lawrence. I thought it was Grody saying, oh, yeah, Spiegel, you are going to have some fun.
Get ready.
Because I'm here now.
Lock the door.
Mister. Get ready for fun.
Come on over here, you.
I like it. There is Bears activity to discuss.
Is there, though?
Well, there's Bears hopeful activity to discuss. And Ryan Poles conversation. He moved lips, made words, all kinds of stuff.
Don't ruin this rebuild.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He did start that by saying, when the question was asked, and we will play it later, he did say, he admitted, it's a sensitive issue. Whether it's rebuild. So in other words.
Why is it a sensitive issue?
Well.
Because everyone looking at what the Bears roster was for the last 2 years would completely understand if you were talking about, you know, rebuilding it.
You just can't say that.
Why?
You can't tell
why
your ownership.
Why can't you do that?
You can't tell your employers that, yes, we are conceding this season, because that's what you're saying.
It's just
if
harder
you say that.
It's just harder to say out loud.
Yeah. He knows that we know it's a rebuild.
And the owners are okay with it, too. He's struggling with what he thinks is the expectation of fan perception. And some bosses in sports have been better at walking that line than others. We watched Theo be brilliant at it.
Yes.
We watched Rick Hahn actually be pretty damn good at it for a couple of years. And then Kenny would say something, be like, what are we doing?
Right, actually.
What's going on?
The Blackhawks have been pretty transparent in their actions and in their words that they are in the process of rebuilding.
About that. Thing.
Yeah, about that.
Not about other things.
Right, I probably shouldn't even allow the word transparency to come through in conjunction with the Blackhawks.
I don't think they deserve it, but I do
like Derek King, though. I found myself that I actually really like him.
He does seem likable. You're right, he does. I think it's the hairline. I think that's what it is. There's something friendly about the hairline.
I agree.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Now, see, but that word, when you say it out loud in a baseball sense, means 2 or 3 years of suck. If you say it in a football sense, he's afraid of like multiple years of suck being the perception and expectation. I've seen our own Hub Arkish running with that, thinking about how it's not just a 1 year thing. I think this might be a 2 year thing that they're thinking about. And then he laughed awkwardly. But the
we can all see who's on the roster though, right?
It shouldn't. In the NFL, okay, you're going to take a step back and figure out where you are in an offseason and then play again. You can't do that again. You don't get multiple offseasons to do that. The Browns did it, and it was stupid, and it sucked, and it didn't really work.
Which is part of why another reason Ryan Poles can't say the word rebuild.
He's sensitive to it. He's afraid of it.
But if he was being honest, he would look at us and wink and say, look at the roster. Look who we have traded. Look who we have let go.
Look at our receiving core.
Look at our receiving core. Isaiah Coulter's out here catching passes in voluntary minicamp.
Guys are doing donuts.
If they didn't whiff on Ryan Bates, the lineman from Buffalo, then Ryan Bates and Larry Ogunjobi, those two things would make it feel more like even just a rebuild or make it for like a reload or anything like that. Now it just feels like a teardown. At this point, it just feels like a teardown. Let's remove this. Let's remove that. What should we add? Not sure yet. We'll talk about that. So, but you just got to wait. We've got to wait a couple of months here to see what they actually add.
Groats, what does it mean that on social I see video of Larry Ogunjobi lifting weights, what seems like at the Bears facility? Have you seen that? I have not seen that. He posted
video.
A picture or a video on Instagram.
Really?
And they were the Bears weights.
Interesting. The fact that it's the bear, like I thought you were just going to
say. Like it's got the Bears logo on like every plate and all that stuff.
Well,
he's a free agent and he's got to work out somewhere.
Maybe that's the last time he worked out.
Or could be the last time he worked out. Or maybe the Bears are being nice and letting him rehab there, hoping he gets better, and then they'll get the fast track on signing him.
Maybe a 1-year deal. Maybe that's the, maybe Ryan Poles said, hey, if you could show you're healthy, we could offer you this instead of that. He's not going to get the 3-year, $41 million deal that he was offered, but maybe Poles has a deal with him where he says, yeah, you prove it to me this year, and then we could talk about the, another 2 years tacked on if you're healthy. But I don't know. I don't have any context to this whatsoever. So it's
here,
just.
I'll send you the pic.
Okay. I mean, it's
I'm looking at it right now. There's a couple of them. So it's a few different workout pics that he posted to his Instagram as he responded when I'm sure people have said, hey, what are those Bears logos doing there? That's interesting.
I don't think that he's responded, but I do think maybe it was an old weight set and the Bears let him take it home. I don't know. Like,
No.
Or just a photo of him lifted from when he was here a few weeks ago or a month ago.
It's
or
the most
long
official thing he's got.
Yeah, like it's up. But no, the fact that it's got the Bears thing on it, that's very interesting.
And there's a couple different things. The weights themselves have the Bears thing. No, he's definitely at a Bears facility.
Okay.
Bears-sanctioned facility at that point.
For sure. Okay, I'm seeing the picture for the first
time.
Come
on, Groats. I need answers. Yes.
I need answers. Yeah. Yep, that is definitely a Bears workout facility. I don't know.
You
don't
figured
know.
Out who the people were holding the D and the fence signs for us during the pandemic.
I had them lined up, ready to come on the radio with you guys.
They were ready to go.
I don't know what happened. Man, the days of the empty stadium. It was something. All those bathrooms just to me. That was great. Imagine being at Soldier Field and the 10,000 bathrooms they have that everybody has to wait in long lines for, and I had them all to myself. I could choose which bathroom I wanted to use.
Lawrence, the texters are saying that it's a Columbus High School in Ohio,
okay,
or maybe another high school in Florida with a similar C.
God, that looks awfully. That looks like the 1960s Bears C, actually.
Give me a C, bouncy C.
Lawrence, you know this well. The first time I was down there in your neck of the woods in Hyde Park at the University of Chicago, and I went and I saw that hat, I'm like, boy, that C looks kind of interesting.
Yep.
So, there's only so many ways to do a C, I guess.
Yeah, Cincinnati Red C. That's kind of
Carthage.
Mm-hmm.
All right, okay, well, if it's not a bear C, it's not a bear C.
This is a fugazi. The whole thing is a fugazi. I don't know what happened here.
Or he was at the Bears facility.
Yeah, or he was at the right.
Lifting weights.
And they're
signing him on a deal that's less than what they had offered him before.
And then they paid off a high school to pretend that it was their gym. Did you guys talk to me about that?
If Larry Ogunjobi signed a 1-year deal with the Bears, that would fit in perfectly with everything else that they have done.
I'd probably want him to sign a 2-year, though, considering the injury.
Yeah, like, it's like signing a guy who just came off of Tommy John.
Yeah.
I'd probably go 2 years, but it doesn't kill you in the second year. Like, you can get out of that deal without a big cap hit.
And also the thing is, like, if I'm going to go ahead and invest in you in this first year when you might be coming off an injury, let me enjoy the fruits of my money with a second year as well, please. You know, from the team perspective.
Go Bears.
Lawrence, when I was a kid, there was a pizza place that was absolutely beloved where my dad had gone since he was a little kid. And like generations had gone to this place for great pizza. And a guy who was writing a book on the greatest foods across America came to town to try the pizza. And the whole neighborhood, the whole community was like, he's going to put our pizza in the top five in America where it belongs. And then he got there and he was allergic to tomatoes and he couldn't have tomatoes.
Was it Tom Brady?
No, I don't know. So he had a white pie, had like a cheese pie with no tomatoes. We're all like, you can't judge our pizza.
That's awful.
So how did it go making a top five list of candy bars without peanuts involved?
I think it went pretty well.
Okay, good. What were your five?
I went with a Hershey's cookie and cream.
Mm, okay.
I mean, I think that's a solid choice.
Mm-hmm.
Crackle.
Crackle's good. Yeah. Really good.
See? Yeah. See? That's always the response you get when you bring up Crackle. People are like, yeah, that's a good candy bar.
We have a commonality so far in the first two. It's a way to get crunch without the peanuts.
That's right.
I see what we're doing.
Crackle just doesn't jump out at you. You know, it's not what you see in the grower. Your eyes don't go to Crackle.
I go for it fast, though, in the miniatures bag.
Oh, absolutely.
100%.
Yes.
It is an early departure from the bowl of miniatures.
From your son's bowl of Halloween candy.
And we're out of Crackle.
All of a sudden, we're out of Crackle. We don't know where to get a refill of Crackle.
Can I just have a bag of mini Crackles, please?
You think we can convince Hershey to do that? Because for Starburst did that. The fans were like, we only want the Reds.
Favorites.
And Starburst was like, okay, you're the Reds.
Yeah, it's called Favorites. And it's a remarkable thing. You're right.
The folks said, we need lime back in Skittles. And then Skittles was like, okay, lime is back.
I always love that kind of thing. It's the power of the people. Like when a TV show gets canceled and people go so crazy for it that another network picks it up.
Netflix has it.
Yeah.
Yes.
You can go find us over there. Okay.
Oh, so number three was Twix.
Oh, love Twix.
Such a good bar.
It's probably my top right there.
That's really high up.
Yeah.
Did you discuss how you eat it? Do you remember the day that Ryan McGuffey and I were on together? We were hosting and we realized that we ate Twix the exact same psychotic way.
You guys eat it as a one?
No. We bite the caramel and chocolate off the top and then both clean off the sides of chocolate. And then you have a delicious shortbread cookie left at the end.
I do that sometimes. I do that. Like, I have a very versatile array of eating. Sometimes I just want to get right to it. You know, I don't have time to mess around.
I understand.
I want the full crunch with the chocolate and the caramel and whatever the hell else is in it.
That's a fine number three.
So this was the question that we ended up at. If you bite into a Kit Kat without separating them, does that make you a sociopath?
Wow.
I think so, yeah, probably. They're there to be broken.
So if you bite into the Kit Kat as a double,
instead of breaking it apart into individuals.
Like it's a candy bar.
Can't do that.
You open up the Kit Kat and you just bite into it, does that make you a sociopath?
You have no respect for order and no respect for organization.
Anarchist.
You are an anarchist, is right.
Chocolate anarchist.
You make your own rules.
I love that band. They were great.
Mm-hmm.
I saw them at Shuba's.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yep. Incredible set.
One of the great Schlitz beer halls.
They opened for a Living Schlitz. Color. It was awesome. Number two was the original Hershey's milk chocolate.
Oh, straight up?
Yep. Mm.
Wow.
I look at that more as like an ingredient.
Yeah.
I did talk about it. It's great. So if you're going to make some non-baked cookies, you want to do some Ritz crackers with peanut butter, you melt down a couple of bars of Hershey's milk chocolate. Pour them over them. You got yourself a nice treat.
No, there you go.
Or s'mores.
Yeah, the s'more. They exist in my house as a s'more component for the boy. When he discovered the s'more, he could not believe.
Oh,
by the way, anybody out there, and I'm sure a lot of parents have had this experience. I took my 10-year-old to the Amazon Go store downstairs.
Did he also steal soft drinks?
he did not. He did not want to rob Jeff Bezos of $1.40 worth of coffee like his daddy does every once in a while. But no, he was staggered by the ability to just take something and leave the store. He couldn't help it. What? No way!
Go ahead.
That's the coolest thing ever.
Go ahead.
After we had, of course, scanned the code.
But you will have to reinforce to him that you can only do that there.
Yeah, you only do it in stores like that. That's exactly right.
Because I don't want to see my man Ruben on the news in cuffs because he's like, oh, man, these Skittles are free.
Yeah.
And then he walks out and,
It's not like the old Saturday Night Live, the Eddie Murphy SNL skit where he dresses up as a white guy.
Oh, it's so good.
And goes into the store he grabs a newspaper.
Everything's free.
Yeah, they just like, go ahead, take it. Really? Oh, that's great. Thanks. Uh-huh.
Oh, right. When he goes to the banks to get a loan, remember that?
Yeah. They just have a party on the bus when the black people leave.
I have no idea.
Number one on the list was the Milky Way bar.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the Milky Way. I heard you mention the Milky Way yesterday, which was the thing.
Which I do like out of the freezer.
Mm. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't not like that. Yeah, Milky Way, I've always liked them, but I've never gone out of my way for the Milky Way. But I respect the Milky Way.
I had a hard time because I am a Three Musketeer fan, and I did not put Three Musketeers on the list.
Yeah, no. As I've gotten older, I need more complex flavor profiles.
I get it. I get it.
I need multiple things till it goes too far. And then you realize you've gone too far, and it's sort of a problem. There's that one candy bar that just has everything.
Is it the 100,000 bar?
No, the 100,000 bar is a solid item.
Or is it 100 grand? Is it called 100 grand?
It's 100 grand now. 100 grand is a solid item.
Do you guys like Chunky? I love Chunky with the raisin.
Chunky.
Really?
Get that raisin out of here.
Oh, it's so good. It's something that I wouldn't thought I would have liked, but I do.
The raisin in the chocolate.
Oh, it's great.
Get it out of here.
Yeah.
Go away.
Love. What about Mounds?
No.
No? Okay.
No.
Jesus.
What about Mounds?
What about Mounds?
What about the Mounds? There's like
Charleston Chew? Like the comic book guy? You ever have a Charleston Chew after seeing the ad for one?
In the freezer.
In the comic?
That's a hell of a freezer item right there. That just snaps off and falls into a million pieces and then slowly gains its form back like Terminator 2, like the villain in T2, the Metal Man.
What about Eminem ruined Charleston Chews for me.
He did?
Because he said he choked you to death with the Charleston Chew.
That's too bad.
Whatchamacallit? You guys like the Whatchamacallit?
How about the Reggie bar?
Oh, see, now I used to love the Reggie bar.
They still exist?
Take Five. That's the bar I'm talking about. The Take Five candy bar.
What's in the Take Five?
Everything.
It's Hershey's, right?
Whatever they can get. I believe there are green beans in there.
Soylent Green is people.
And raisins.
Take Five is made of people. No, Take Five is, there's like, I think there's peanuts and there's pretzels and there's caramel and there's like seven other things.
Wow.
There's carrots and I think flaxseed.
Why imagine there's just five.
Yeah. There's quinoa in there. I don't know, man. It just ain't right. It's just too much. Simmer down.
I was listening to you guys yesterday when just out of nowhere, Will Perdue was like, hey, before I let you guys go, I got to ask you real quick.
I thought he was going to ask me something like profound. And he's like, what's your favorite candy?
Yeah.
A couple reasons that happened, in my opinion.
Number one,
Will Perdue likes radio. He really does,
and he's good at it.
Yep, he enjoys it. He would like to do more of it. He enjoys the conversation. He's a very wide-ranging intellect.
Amen.
I've been to 12 Hootie and the Blowfish concerts.
See? 12. He wants to talk about those set lists. He wants to do a whole segment or maybe three on that.
Okay.
I'm out. But he really likes radio. And number two, he is done with the Chicago Bulls.
Yes. Let's move on to candy.
Uh-huh.
Surprised I wasn't his lead.
Yeah.
Hey, we're going to get to the Bulls, man. But before
I get there, let's talk about absolutely anything else.
Right.
Yeah. Because I'm feeling some similar vibes there. But that part of that is because it's baseball season. I must admit and I must understand.
Are you looking forward to watching tonight's game, Speaks?
Dude, the vibes. The vibes around the White Sox. It is quite something.
It's a Dallas Keuchel night.
Oh.
Yes.
Usually they come here to curse. Nowadays, they're just cursing anywhere. They're just cursing about it because they're all miserable.
I forgot to do this on my show, but if you will allow me, if you will indulge me for a second, there's two paragraphs of James Fegan that is pretty amazing, okay? This is what he wrote after Sunday. Your memories of the White Sox disastrous 0-6 road trip through the American League Central might vary, but for beat reporters who follow the team, it'll be hard to shake the image of players sitting in silence at their lockers, well after the final pitch of another dispiriting loss at Target Field. Feegan goes on to write, on Friday, it was Tim Anderson and Kendall Graveman dutifully waiting to face the music after Anderson's eighth-inning defensive misplays and a particularly irksome 0-2 hanging slider by Graveman to a number 9 hitter. On Saturday, it was a distraught and injured Eloy Jimenez sitting at his locker, surrounded and comforted by equally bleary-eyed teammates trying to make sense of another setback for such a joyful player. On Sunday, we saw many players who had yet to strip off a stitch of their uniform after a 6-4 10th-inning walk-off loss to the Twins that featured two separate late-game leads erased by Byron Buxton and his home runs off trusted relievers Aaron Bummer and Liam Hendricks.
Yeah.
And the quote from Lucas Giolito it's been a bleepy week.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of negative vibes.
Oh, dude, it's been a bleepy week, a crappy week, said Lucas Giolito. See Vince Velasquez's quote after the Saturday loss? To be honest, I felt it speaks to the whole thing. It's not even about him. To be honest, I felt like bleep, said Vince Velasquez. Oh. I just feel like with all the injuries and everything we encountered, it just seems like everything is not the best energy itself in the clubhouse and on the field.
So they got to burn some sage over there today?
Things just aren't really turning around for us. That was Saturday.
And then Sunday happens.
And then Sunday happened.
Guys are sitting in their locker stall silent in their uniforms.
And now a day off to stew in it and yesterday.
Maybe they needed it, though. Maybe they needed the day off.
Of course they needed the day off.
Man, who is it? Who is the sprightly, peppy presence on that coaching staff to go in there and make these guys remember that the game is fun?
Tony La Russa.
No, it's not.
Frank Menachino.
Hey, how you doing, Frank Menachino? Hey. Why are you so mad over there?
These guys are altering their swings. There's nothing I can do about it.
And Frank has said, his quote is, we're getting slidered to death.
Yeah, they are. You know, they're facing the third fewest number of fastballs, percentage of fastballs in the entire league. The league is not bothering to challenge them with fastballs. Editor's note, fastballs much easier to hit than everything else.
They're going to get Daniel Lynch tonight, though.
Yes, they do.
They're going to get him.
Who is it on the coaching staff? Is Shelly Duncan going to go in there and juggle or something?
Is he a juggler?
No, I don't know. Daryl Boston on a unicycle?
Wait a minute, I got it. Kenny Williams. This is his time.
Flip a table?
Yeah.
Super Joe McEwing doing a dance?
Not with the way he's waving runners around.
Yeah, waving everybody.
You better stay out of our business. You better stay out of White Sox business.
Let's go, Kenny. Yeah. Let's go.
Every one of the seven straight losses
stay right out of White Sox business.
Every loss has had its own horrible story to it.
There are
such things as bad losses.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what the White Sox have had.
And we're still not sure if Liam Hendricks is bad or tipping pitches right now.
It's
tipping pitches.
It's all about Ruby. They need Ruby, the tarot card reader, to get in there.
Or hurt.
Yeah, he might
hurt. We need to get him on here, let him let a little steam off, you know, to drop a couple F-bombs on the score.
But this is what I'm saying. Usually they come here to curse. Now they're just cursing everywhere, and it's not a happy kind of cursing. It's much more miserable.
Oh, I don't care. I mean, congratulations. You just swept us in June. Who gives a it doesn't matter.
That's what we need back.
Yeah. That's good.
Well, yeah, bad start to last year, too. That's the only thing I'm hanging on to.
Sure, and just 15 games in.
Yeah.
And they're going to get Daniel Lynch tonight.
Run with it.
Lefty on the mound. They've battered him around in the three times that they've seen him. They're going to get him tonight.
But here's
the problem.
Yo.
The problem is who's pitching for you.
Right.
And it's Dallas Keuchel. So...
Well,
the over under is 8.5. Something to keep in mind for tonight.
What inning does Tanner Banks come in? That's my question.
The third.
Yeah. So then that under might be okay if Tanner Banks gets in early enough.
The only counter to Dallas Keuchel is that he had one of his worst outings last time. He can't possibly be that bad again, right?
He was that bad back in August. Almost exactly that bad in August.
The defense.
Reynaldo Lopez.
The defense will pick him up.
Comes in the third inning tonight. How about that? How about Reynaldo Lopez comes in third inning, pitches five solid innings, and he's back in the starting rotation.
Okay.
The defense will pick him up.
That's the thing, man. Either the manager's going to change the vibes with his supreme positivity, you know, his ebullient presence, or the defense is going to pick up Dallas Keuchel. One of those two things.
I love how you said that. It's such a throwaway, petty line. Defense will pick him up. You know them. They're good.
Yeah, they're solid like that.
The lineup. Well, at that point, you're looking for a single.
Oh, yeah.
The lineup is out.
Oh. Okay.
Anderson, Vaughn.
Good.
How about that?
Vaughn.
Putting your better hitter up higher in the order. Yeah.
Stop there.
Vaughn, Abreu, Grandal.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Pollock, Berger, Harrison's back.
Berger.
How was your Berger?
How high is that? What is that, six for Berger?
Yep.
Leury Garcia.
No, he's not in the lineup. Engel, and then Mendick. So you got your right-handed lineup out there against a lefty.
Wait.
They're going to get Daniel Lynch,
okay,
man.
Oh, my God. No, that's
how about that?
That is a lineup worth discussing.
Yeah. That is a representative lineup.
That is a day off. We might have conferenced about some things upstairs at the ballpark sort of lineup.
How do we do
isn't
Zoom?
It? Yeah. That is a let me pull an extra chair into the manager's office kind of lineup right there. Andrew Vaughn at two.
Yes.
That's good.
Yes, because he's been one of your better hitters.
Of course he has.
And they should allow the better hitters to hit more in games.
You know,
that's a pretty simple concept.
That concept might have legs. That concept might have legs right there.
Let's run with this today.
Well,
that concept.
Yeah. No, I like it. That sure feels like an extra chair was brought into the manager's office. I like it.
Like we gave you Lurie a couple days at three and two. We gave that to you.
We were on the road. We haven't had a chance to talk.
We haven't had a chance to, you know, just check in.
Yeah. Let's just talk about some basics that we think. Are you open to the conversation there? Their tone.
He draws a diamond on the board. You got an open base right there. See that open base right there?
Not going to bring up the Buxton thing. That's come and gone, Tone. We can't really talk about that. But what you can control, let's discuss. Well, I like it. Well, hopefully, you know, first game of a homestand is very often the time that the general manager will come out and talk to the media.
And considering that there is at least one and maybe two injuries, perhaps.
There's some things to update.
Yep.
So a man can dream of a state of the franchise conversation taking place in the dugout with some veteran scribes gathered around.
Yeah, y'all better stay out of White Sox business. Let's go, Kenny.
Oh, no.
Let's go.
Get up inside that White Sox business.
Get there and flip those tables over. It's about that. Someone needs to do something.
You want to leave? God. Leave now.
Kenny, get off the treadmill and go down there and flip them tables over.
Forever on the treadmill.
Yeah, like I get it. Look, here's the thing about Kenny that I've figured out in covering the White Sox and Kenny for a while, and occasionally butting heads with Kenny.
Mm.
Me and Kenny are a lot alike. So when I hear that he's on the treadmill, I'm like, because that's how I would be. I would just be sitting there trying to figure out what to do with all of that energy, and in some cases, anger. Like, what do you do with it?
Yeah.
Try to turn it into a positive. You get 10,000 steps in while you're watching the game, and you go and you feel better if they win. But only if they win. But don't worry, Speaks. The defense will pick them up.
Yeah, I think so. Nothing to worry about, Lawrence. Have a great day, man. We'll talk to you, boys.
Have a fun time.
All right, that's Lawrence Holmes. It's Matt Spiegel and Mark Grody on Parkins and Spiegel today. Lots to do today. Tanny's Open kicks us off next, and then we will talk Bulls and the latest bit of absurdity in their news cycle.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.